This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
How soon they forget about us. You hear that? The Paracast. Of course, you can't do it like Porky Pig.
The Paracast.
There was only one Mel Blanc. Look him up if you don't know who Mel Blanc was.
His grave is about 3 or 4 miles from me, and on the gravestone it says, "That's all, folks." It's wonderful.
He seemed like such a nice guy when you saw him interviewed. And I don't know how many voices he had, 1,000 or something like that. And it wasn't just people, cartoon characters, like on the old Jack Benny show, he played the car, which had an engine that barely started.
Yeah, no, he was good at giving voice to just about any idea. And there's not too many people like that. I don't even know who took over his mantle afterwards. I mean, there's still people doing, or at least in the last 20 years, doing Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and Foghorn Leghorn and all that when they appear. But it's not Mel Blanc anymore. It's just somebody that's doing Mel Blanc. So I think he did practically every voice for Warner Brothers from maybe the, what, early 40s, late 30s up to maybe he retired in the 60s sometime. I've got an anti-drug record by Mel Blanc, which is pretty good.
Well, his son took over for a while. I don't know if he still does it or not, or even if he's still alive. But he was also a good actor. I'd see him on the old Jack Benny TV show where he'd play a character. It was always the character that was being put upon, this very meek character that was being put upon by Jack Benny. And the best one was where Jack Benny wants to buy a present. Of course, Jack Benny's character was very cheap. Nowadays, they call it racist because Jack Benny was a Jew. And he plays a cheap Jew. That was his character.
Yeah.
And so he tried to decide to buy a present for his announcer. And this character is played by Mel Blanc. And you watch his personality disintegrate every time Jack Benny comes back to say, "No, I'm not going to buy this. I'll buy something else." And by the end, you see this brilliant comic actor in his element. And you didn't see that so much because you're hearing the voice. But even the voice, if you hear Bugs Bunny from Mel Blanc and Bugs Bunny from everyone else, there is a distinctive Mel Blanc character to it that nobody else imitates.
Yeah. He even has a Flying Saucer song that I discovered a few months ago.
Oh, tell me more.
It's called Flying Saucers, but it has nothing to do with aliens or UFOs. It has to do with his wife throwing dishware at him.
That's where he said, "That's all, folks," and ran out.
Yeah, well, he must have. It's just him talking about getting in fights with his wife, and you hear plates flying through the air and smashing on a wall as he describes flying saucers flying through the air from the hands of my wife, something like that. But yeah, that one you could probably play too. I don't suppose that's under anybody's copyright either. But yeah, look up Flying Saucers by Mel Blanc.
Let's do it live. Flying Saucers by Mel. There he is, by Mel Blanc. Okay. Let's see where it is. Okay, Mel Blanc, Flying Saucers, 1951. I don't know about the copyright there.
Who knows? I think I've played it on my show a couple times. Nobody's ever bothered me because I don't advertise and I don't charge for the thing, so I've never been bothered. But, you know, I'm not playing popular music either. I ask people, you know, what music they'd like to hear. Sometimes it's normal music, but usually it's something obscure. Obscure enough that I don't get bothered. And if I do, I guess I can't start playing. I got to stop playing the music. But so far, I haven't been bothered because most stuff I play is just so nobody cares about it. I do. But.
Well, this one must be about flying saucers because it features his voice as Bugs Bunny.
It's not really Bugs Bunny. It's just Mel Blanc. It's just, I guess somebody says, if you hear Mel Blanc, it must be Bugs Bunny. But as you said.
Here, wait.
Our marriage. marriage used to be like the sweetest harmony. Why, everything was peachy at the start. Like a rocket to the moon, it was over much too soon. When she hit me on the head, she broke my heart. Flying saucers, flying from the hands of my wife.
And that's it.
That is Mel Blanc, but not Bugs Bunny, but there's a similarity.
Yeah, because you said he has his distinctive voice. Everything is Mel Blanc. And if you hear him doing his, you know, standard Mel Blanc silly voice, there's an element of Bugs Bunny in it. And there's an element of Daffy Duck in it. And there's an element of Porky Pig in it. Or Yosemite Sam. All these things are coming out of the brain of Mel Blanc. And so when he does another character, which isn't those cartoon characters, it sounds like those cartoon characters to people.
Melvin Jerome Blanc.
Yeah.
Died at age 81. He was born in San Francisco.
That I didn't know, but his grave is in the Jewish section of the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. It's got a Star of David on it, and then people leave pennies and stuff on top because that's a custom. Like they do on the graves of the Three Stooges, actually.
He died of COPD. He started smoking when he was 9 years old. I want to laugh. The guy might have lived another 10 years. You know?
Yeah, I'm just laughing. It's like, okay, I guess people really started early then. There was just no taboo about it. And, well, maybe there was. But that couldn't have helped. I mean, look what it did to poor Art Bell.
Is that what the cause of death was?
They have not determined yet. It's funny. I was actually working Coast the other night, and somebody said that George Knapp had actually called up the coroner in, where was it, Pahrump, or that county, Nye County, and asked if they determined the cause of death yet, and they said no, as of like 3 days ago. But I'm pretty sure it had something to do with his smoking, because he was in the hospital in the last year because of COPD, because of his smoking. So it'd be safe to assume that that's probably what got him in the end was the smoking. I mean, anybody that smokes, you know, it got everybody. They're too numerous to mention. Somebody you know, probably.
Well, of course, Leonard Nimoy died from COPD.
Yeah. Brought on by smoking. And it's funny because I don't think he'd smoked in years, but it was, you know, he'd smoked for so many years, it ruined his... ruined his lungs. Mine are messed up from smoking cloves when I was in college, I think. I can't smoke anything anymore, which, you know, it's not a big loss or anything, but if anything enters my lungs that has been burned, I get an immediate bad reaction. I start coughing, and then I don't stop coughing for weeks. Last time I smoked anything, like 15 years ago, it scared me so badly. I haven't smoked anything since then.
Good for you.
As you cough.
You didn't hear me cough because my throat's a little bit weird tonight, and I never smoked. But he heard a cough, but you can't hear it because the mic is cut off, but only cut off part way. So he can hear it, but it can't be heard. It's not picked up in the recording.
It's a cough button.
It's a cough switch, yes. But it's a half-baked cough switch because obviously he hears me.
Yeah. I was addicted to chewing tobacco for a while, but I finally got off of that years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I go to the Circle K for a cup of coffee, and they've got a deal. If you buy 10 cups of coffee, not at once, they will give you a free cup. So I go in there for the cup of coffee. Inevitably, I see somebody buying the pack of cigarettes that's on sale that day, buying some kind of chewing tobacco, and I have no idea what brands or what. And I think about this, they're spending, what, for a pack of cigarettes, $5, $6, $7? I don't have any connection with the pricing anymore. And I think most people can't afford to pay their bills. Half of the people in America, I mentioned the Federal Reserve Board, this is another survey, have difficulty covering their basics, rent, transportation, food, clothing, insurance, etc. Can't cover it, even with multiple jobs. These aren't people sitting home and noodling in front of their computers. It's a mess out there. We got more to come. Hopefully we'll undo the messes. With Gene and Greg, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside of our borders. At Miles Rank Limited, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Rank Limited is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box system in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid foundational storage partnered with the most respected name in security. That's Miles Rank Unlimited. Celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Rank Unlimited. A name you can trust.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests.
Wherever you are, I will find you.
Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So this, like, is a whole show with me.
It is. I told you it would be.
Oh, you said it was just having a little discussion. This is an actual, like, guest appearance.
Yes, it is. I was actually going to have somebody else, but they couldn't come at the last minute. And I said, this is ridiculous. Greg and I can do two shows without coughing. at least audibly.
How did the interview with Dean Radin go? I had a lot of fun with him on my show.
I didn't realize what a sense of humor that guy has. So we enjoyed it a lot. We were debating whether we should have him do the Paracast Stinger, which he never got around to. And part of it is he wanted to be surrounded with echo and special effects. And we went into the special effects. Next time he's on, I'll bring him on. You'd be surprised sometimes the people you think kind of straight and serious, like Chris Rutkowski, is a serious guy when it comes to UFO research. But then hear him imitating Ming the Merciless.
Who, Chris? Really?
Yeah. Because he does some kind of radio theater kind of thing. And he did a radio version of the updated Flash Gordon movie, not the original.
Oh, I think he mentioned that on Facebook or something somewhere. Yeah, I do know that. He's a funny guy. When we got our copies of Reframing the Debate, he sent out a video. I finally got my copy of Reframing the Debate in the mail just in time. And there's a video of him putting it under a chair that was crooked. And he just shoved it under the chair so he could read another book.
Well, that certainly beats George Bush in his sketch looking for the weapons of mass destruction under the bed.
Was that on Saturday Night or something?
No, it was real.
Oh, okay.
That was real. I mean, you know, you think Saturday Night Live, they do some pretty wacky things, especially this year with all the guest stars. I mean, they've had Robert De Niro on there. They even had Stormy Daniels, really, on the show.
I don't watch them very often. I mean, I think they had one or two golden ages, certainly the first one. And then right now, actually, they're probably going through a pretty good – it's been, well, a lot of satire is going through a renaissance now. So they're just kind of a very visible part of that. And it's great. I mean, we need that. I was just talking to a friend today. We were talking about Roseanne Barr and what happened with that over the last couple of days. And I pointed out that a couple of years ago I had gone and seen Tony Clifton, played by Bob Zamuda. He used to be Andy Kaufman's writing partner, and they would play the Tony Clifton character, so people would never know who it was because they had the glasses on and all that. But a couple of years ago, he was doing some shows, some charity shows, and he just, one after the other, sexist, racist jokes, just bang, 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 bang. And then bad singing and all that. People were, and this was at the Comedy Store, people were getting up and leaving. And I was so proud to be there at that point with him still doing that stuff in 2016 or whatever it was when I saw him. Because the point of doing all that is to point out to the audience that there are parts of you that have these feelings and laugh at these jokes, and you have to recognize that and deal with it and accept it and not act on it, not treat people, you know, badly because of, for the reason that you're laughing nervously at these jokes. That's probably just a part of just about everyone. Everybody has these feelings, but the thing is you don't act on them and you don't say nasty things to people. That's why I really enjoyed the Tony Clifton show. If people don't know, I've got a very heavy interest in comedy. I've had a couple shows where all I did was play comedy records with friends of mine. So I think it's an important thing. Comedy is very important, and it's important. It's most important when it's pointing out problems and making people laugh at these problems and making them realize that there's problems that need to be taken care of in the midst of laughing at them, because it makes it acceptable to discuss them. I don't know how this has anything to do with the paranormal, but whatever.
It's paranormal comedians. Of course, yes. It was Don Rickles. Don Rickles was one of my favorite people because as nasty as they sounded, people sense that he's a nice guy. And I saw that, you know. He had me go up to the stage. This was in Las Vegas like 20 years ago. I went on the stage and participated in one of his bits. And before we did it, he would quietly talk to me and I think one other person. And he would say something, and you knew when he said that he was a nice guy. You know, he wasn't trying to exploit you. He was a nice guy. In fact, towards the end of the show, he almost sounds like a rabbi. And it really nice. And because he could do that, what made him famous is he told one of those jokes at the expense of Frank Sinatra. And Frank Sinatra sensed that this was a shtick. And he laughed. And everybody realized if he could say that to Frank Sinatra, it was fun and we can accept him.
Right, exactly. It's slightly different, but it's more an interpersonal thing. How do people relate to each other? And I, for a long time, thought when friends made fun of me, they had suddenly turned on me. That's not so stupid of me, because I was so, and still in some ways, socially inept. When a friend starts making fun of you, it means you're accepted. So that is just taking that to the extreme logical world stage extreme, I believe.
Well, when it comes to that, we used to go to the comedy shows in New York. We sometimes see comedians, especially in New York, like the Improv or something. A famous comedian would come in to test new material. And that was always fun. And sometimes we had a chance to talk to one of these people. Some were really pains in the arse. Others were really nice people.
Yeah.
And Jerry Lewis was not one of them. I never met him. But I think we all know Jerry Lewis was not a nice guy off stage.
No. I saw him in Cantor's Deli a couple years ago. He was sitting right across from me, and I said, oh, my God, that's Jerry Lewis. I mean, to myself. And he looked over at me, and I think the look was, please don't say anything. I would rather be left alone. So I smiled, and I stopped looking at him, went back to what I was doing.
You can almost understand that, because that guy's been doing this, since he died, a year or two back, and he's been doing it since he was a teenager.
Yeah. No, he was not a nice person to a lot of people, but that brings up the whole thing about Woody Allen and all the people that have been accused of things, guilty or not. And then people say, well, that disavows all their work. How? How does that disavow their work? Why does the person have to be their work? Their work is an artistic expression. Yeah, you can hate the person, but I don't think that has... It doesn't have much to do, if anything, with their artistic output, unless they're taking some of that nastiness and putting in the artistic output in some way that's obvious or exploitative or whatever. But there's plenty of examples of people that are complete assholes in private, but are very incredibly great artists or performers or whatever you want to call it. You just don't want to hang around them.
And you also have situations where you have people appearing on a show together privately. They hate one another, like Castle. Okay? Nathan Fillion did not get along with his co-star, Stana Katic. They hated each other. We got more to come. Maybe I added some of the acid to the relationship on the air. We got more to come with Greg and Gene. I don't know about what you're in.
Paragast!
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNlive.com.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S., the Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber, go to theultimateknife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own, and only available at theultimateknife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at theultimateknife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Now being faced with tariffs on the steel and aluminum they sell to the United States, several U.S. allies are still speaking out against them. The European Union Senior Trade Commissioner calling the tariffs illegal. Canada and the EU plan to file challenges with the World Trade Organization. But Treasury Chief Steve Mnuchin, speaking after a three-day G7 Finance Ministers Summit, insisted yesterday those tariffs are fair.
President Trump has been very clear in wanting to address trade issues. Again, our objective is to make make sure we have fair and balanced trade.
Drought in America's West is still feeding fires in Colorado and New Mexico. Over 400 firefighters are battling a massive wildfire that's still 0% contained in northern New Mexico, and a wildfire in southern Colorado is forcing the evacuation of over 800 homes. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The other day, I have a passenger in Uber. I do both. Not at the same time, though. Some people figure this is the paranormal aspect. I split up into two people to make twice as much money. Okay? So I was taking this passenger, I think, to the airport. And she is a flight attendant from Liverpool. That accent.
Yeah.
Obviously, we get into the Beatles. She hates Paul. Now, remember, the Beatles were famous before she was born. She's a woman in her late 20s. It also took me about 3 minutes of conversation before I could understand anything she said. And she admitted she deliberately slows down her speech for Americans. Otherwise, they won't understand her at all. So she was telling me she doesn't like Paul. And I think I get the point that Paul McCartney is a control freak.
Yes.
A micromanager.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we see in the days of the Beatles recording, John Lennon would come in late, he'd do his thing and leave, get blasted or something, whatever he was doing. Paul would stay at night and overdub or redo segments of the song. And Paul can play like 40 different instruments, including drums. So he could do anybody's part.
Yeah.
Like the song, The Ballad of John and Yoko, that was John and Paul, because Paul played the drums.
Right.
Dear Prudence.
Yeah.
In the White Album, Paul played the drums.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I think for like 2 days, Ringo quit the band, and then he came back.
Yeah, he quit, and then they put flowers on his drums, and he came back.
I'll give you the other psychic story. This is almost paranormal. You ready for this? December 1980. You know I'm getting out here.
Yeah.
And I set the clock to get up fairly early in the morning to go to my place of employment in New York City, right down the street from Tim Beckley's apartment, by the way, which is very strange that I got best jobs in my life, not related to this field, at that location within a walking distance, sometimes two doors, from Tim's apartment. So I wake up, and Barbara and I see it's 1 o'clock in the morning or something, or midnight, really early. It's like 5-6 hours before we normally get up. the radio comes on, the first thing we hear that John Lennon was shot and killed. The alarm never went off at the wrong time again.
There's Gene's psychic experience.
Some would say it's a psycho experience.
Yeah, it sounds almost like that that story with the Michael Shermer and his newly married wife and the dead radio that played his wife's grandfather's favorite song or something like that, and momentarily shook his skepticism and or fundamentalist skepticism, which is what I call it. And then he's kind of come back to stasis with that. Now he's firmly back in the skeptic camp. Or the fundamentalists. I don't think all skeptics are fundamentalists. Some of them aren't. But most people have already made up their mind about what they want to find out on both sides of the spectrum, all sides of the spectrum. And I've whined about that for years, so I'm going to stop now.
Someone once said there are nice people on both sides, but that was not about the paranormal and believers and disbelievers.
I've met some of my best friends and the nicest people ever, and I've also met some real horrible people, too. And I just tend to avoid the horrible people and hang out with the nice people, at least the ones that I think are nice. So it's that way with any group. It's just people factionalize, their personalities come out. The funny thing is, and I think you probably talked about this on the show, why is it so virulent in the UFO community? I don't understand it. I guess because they think they're under siege anyway, because people don't believe, you know, you have to believe that there's aliens coming here from other planets, and everything kind of flows into that mindset. And people that are predisposed to, you know, really, really want everybody to believe them. With the UFO thing, there's no way to really prove it. So that makes it even worse. And there's an even worse cognitive dissonance. And I think that might be part of the reason for some of the seeming fanaticism or real fanaticism in the field.
I'm going to throw this in because it may not relate to anything. Teens are over Facebook. A new study has confirmed what we've long expected. Facebook is no longer the most popular social media site among teens ages 13 to 17.
I thought that was like 2 or 3 years or more ago they'd already said that.
Well, this time 51% of U.S. teens use Facebook, a 20% drop since 2015. Now, the most popular platform among teens is YouTube.
Oh, that makes sense.
Part of it is that Facebook is so scattered, and that's related because we're in the paranormal field and we deal with people and we have to stay in touch with our listeners and everything and our friends. Facebook and Twitter to me are scattered. You can't focus because you've got this endless amount of little bits of something or other coming through. And for example, my wife is interested in animal rights and she subscribes to a few groups, and suddenly her mailbox is getting 500 letters a day. And what she has to do, because she has no time to read all that stuff, she says, delete everything since Tuesday. Hopefully she saves the stuff she needs.
Yeah. Yeah, I try. I'm still, I guess, addicted to Facebook because most of my friends are on there. We communicate through it. There's special interest groups that I like. Just, you know, just the same reason everybody else is on there. And also because of my show, and it's one of the few social medias I use for the show. I do use Twitter a bit, but not very much. I guess it shows that I'm old or something, but Facebook seems to have the feedback that I want. With all the evils of it and the tracking and all that, I don't get too many ads or anything like that. I think it's because, as a rule, I always give out, you know, fake information and say no to everything. Do you want us to send you anything? No. Do you want to track? No. Do you want to see this in your newsfeed? No. Basically, I say no to just about everything. So I'm fairly well not bothered by most of the BS, at least I don't think I am, that other people are subject to on some of the social media. It's because I'm really careful about who I talk to and what I accept and like I just said.
I have to feel complimented now. I'm part of a small list. But when we're looking here at young people being interested in these subjects, which apparently they are, but we don't know how to talk to them yet. How do we talk to them? I mean, it's still, you go to UFO conventions, they're all 55 or older. That same thing, by the way, is cable TV news. So Fox News and MSNBC both have demographics where the vast majority of their viewers are over 65. So you have the so-called conservative, the so-called liberal, reaching older people. So what about teens? Where are they getting their information from if you want to have a UFO convention or any paranormal convention?
Apparently YouTube.
I guess, but then again, if you have Comic-Con, you get 150,000 people because you bring in their stars. You bring in movie and TV stars. And they show up for roundtables. And you can meet Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
But we don't have any stars in the UFO field like that. That I can see.
No, I mean, there's few younger people coming up. Ryan is one I point to because he's like, what, he's in 27 or 29 or something like that now. But he's like one of the younger people. So I try to – he lives near me now here in L.A., so I see him every once in a while, and I'm trying to kind of push him towards things I think are interesting and that are more more what I think should be happening and not the – the kind of stuff that doesn't interest me and that I don't think is important or that might be a red herring or whatever. I try to discuss those things with them and have some sort of a little bit of influence. Just like, people did with me when I was younger. Somebody asked me, who's your mentor? And I couldn't think of anything. He said, all the people that he likes, this friend of mine, that he says he seemed to have a mentor relationship with somebody at the beginning or sometime during their ufological career. And I thought about it for a second, and I thought, I think it's Bill Moore, actually.
We're going to have more, not about Bill Moore. Maybe we will. With Gene and Greg, you're in.
You're still in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to TechNightOwl.com/host. Once again, that's TechNightOwl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNLive.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, I'm
I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEMACAM84M of NutraMedical.com and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yeah, how do we explain that? We've been doing this now for 12 and a half years, and we won't stop until we get it right.
I don't know what I got right. I don't even do a regular show schedule anymore. I started interviewing people on pirate radio in 1998. I still have some of those recordings. One of the earliest ones I did was Scott Corrales, actually.
Right, of course. We've had him on a couple of times.
Yeah, because he'd written something for Excluded Middle. Actually, he'd written a few things for Excluded Middle, the magazine that I had with my friends. And, I thought that was a I wasn't scared of him. So I had him on the show. I had a show at like on Wednesdays from 2 to 4 a.m. on pirate station KBLT in Los Angeles for 2 years. And then we started on Kill Radio. We started with Kill Radio. Me and some friends joined up with that in 2000. And then I interviewed people then too. And then 2006, I think it changed to a slightly different format. And then 3 years ago now, I finally left Kill Radio. And just do it from my house now, just like a lot of podcasters. But it wasn't a podcast back then. It was an internet radio station. And before that, it was a pirate radio station. And I've had some training in radio, but it was at UC Irvine, but I didn't pursue it because it was such a long drive for me. You go through this course and then you apply to have a show and then you would have a weekly show, but it would have been fighting traffic every week twice. You know, up there and back, which is, it was just too much for me. So I never went into legit radio.
Well, I went into legit radio.
I know.
And now I'm back in legit radio, but also a podcaster. Isn't that weird? By the way, yeah. I just see this message from Ryan Sprague. He just picked up on The Americans now that they've had the finale.
I don't watch any on demand hardly at all. The last thing I got hooked. Oh, you know what? The Rajneesh thing. I'm watching that now. That one's like jaw-droppingly amazing. What's the name of it? The documentary, like the 6-part documentary on the Rajneesh cult from, I think it's Netflix.
I honestly don't know. I watch very little at Netflix. I watch Jessica Jones, the superhero stuff, Punishers, repeats of older shows that I can watch without the commercials, things like that, Sense8. So I watched some good stuff. I saw also a good remake of The Saint. Remember The Saint?
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, they starred Adam Rayner, British actor, as a saint, and he also appeared as the tyrant in the FX TV show with the beard. And you see him with the beard here because possibly the movie was being filmed at the same time as the TV show. And then you see him without. And you think, you know what? This guy is a good action hero. Maybe he should be the next James Bond.
Oh, right, because Roger Moore was the original saint.
And Roger Moore does make a cameo appearance in that film, The Saint.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was like a year before he died or something like that. Yeah. Except Roger Moore was not the action hero, because he wouldn't even walk in some of these James Bond movies without a stunt double. He was afraid of guns. He wouldn't do any of the action scenes. He had the stuntman do it. Not like, for example, a Daniel Craig, who would do, you know, most of his stunts, or a Tom Cruise or someone like that.
Yeah.
So mark my words, Adam Rayner as the next James Bond after Daniel Craig gives it up.
I don't know anything about pop culture. I hardly consume it, which is, I guess that's bad. I don't know.
That's sad. There's so much fun there. You need to watch The Americans, because the guy who created the show, and it's about two Soviet spies infiltrating America near Washington, D.C. in the 1980s, when Reagan was president, just before Gorbachev took off, just before they brought down the wall. And it's played by Matthew Rhys, who is a British actor, Welshman, and Kerry Russell from Felicity and other movies. And as a matter of fact, they play a fake husband and wife to be like Americans, and they have two kids, standard family. And their next-door neighbor is an FBI man. That's where, of course, the mystery is. It's gone on for 6 years, just ended, and they became a couple, by the way.
Yeah.
Who cares? You know, it happens sometimes, you know, when two people appear together in a TV show and they play romantic partners. But it was created by a guy who worked as a CIA agent and supposedly actually presented a reasonable facsimile what real people did in the 80s, real Soviet spies, were trained to speak and act just like Americans.
Mm-hmm. There was a Chinese spy that Bill Moore used to have contact with named Paul Dong, which is a great name. He lived in San Francisco, and everybody knew he was Chinese intelligence. But people played the game with him because they knew, you know, they're going to get a little bit from him. He's going to get a little bit from them. Maybe they'll get a clue about something. But he had an acupuncture business for years in San Francisco with his wife. And on the side, he was, like, interested in UFOs. But he wasn't really interested in UFOs. He was interested in the military applications of what people think or thought were UFOs. And he interfaced with people just to figure some of that stuff out and send the reports back to China. Everybody knew it, so apparently, I get, you know, obviously they're going to give them some junk, too, to send back to China. But he knows that, too. Anyway, he interfaced with the UFO researchers for years, I think in the late 70s, early 80s, maybe even to the late 80s, and then mysteriously one day he just moved back to China. I guess his assignment was done, him and his wife.
And his name was Dong, was it?
No, Dong.
Dong.
D-O-N-G.
Dong. So therefore his brother was named Ding.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Isn't that terrible?
Now your show's going to be canceled because you're a racist.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to say anything else. Some of my best, no, I can't do it that way either. Well, I can tell Jewish jokes because I'm Jewish.
You could do that.
Okay.
Yeah, Greenfield was on my show and he told a few Jewish jokes. Your pal, Alan Greenfield.
Oh, yeah, he knows a few good ones.
He knows a bunch of them. They're good.
Alan Greenfield. I have to get him back on the PowerCast maybe next
week. Yes, you should. He was one of the most popular guests on my show, and I still haven't had him back yet.
Well, you can join us next time he's on. We can just do a whole, you know, round table of wackiness. But he has some interesting ideas.
I'd rather have him on my own show, but sure.
The thing, you can do both. He's worth it. He can go on for a long time when he gets going. But the thing about Alan is he was theorizing about UFOs and the expanded viewpoint of UFOs and other phenomena with me back in the 60s.
Yeah.
We hatched some of that stuff out in the mid-60s at a hotel room in New York City. So when you hear people now saying it must be ETH, I think, you know, I was there 50 years ago. What are they telling me now?
Yeah, a lot of people were. I mean, nothing we're talking about here really is that new at all. It's just things that people have forgotten about or not interested in or whatever. Like I said at the beginning of the show, this kind of paraphysical consciousness-based stuff, even though they didn't call it that, was being explored by the Borderland research people in the 1940s. And to some extent, I guess, before that, although it wasn't connected so much with the UFO subject. But they started to connect it back then.
Right. They say my head's back in the 50s, and I keep saying, no, it's just that we're talking about the same things in this time we realize it. Greg Bishop, people who need to know what to do to find you. Where can they find you?
All you have to do is go to Radio Misterioso, and anything that I'm doing at that point will be posted there. Or, you know, just go to the Radio Misterioso Facebook page if you're on that. And look, every show that I've done in the past probably 5 years is posted at Radio Misterioso, so you can download to your heart's content.
Enjoy the download. Don't run up your data plan. Check your data plan if you're going to run all those shows first, always, because ISPs are a little wicked about that. You can find us on Twitter. Look at the Paracast. Look at two channels of Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. Don't know why we have two, but whatever you like, community or group. I don't know what they are, but they are there. We also have the Paracast Plus. That is our service where we offer the After the Paracast podcast, plus a special version of this show, better quality audio, free of 41 minutes of those network ads. I mean, that's how the network makes money. I don't make money from it, but the network makes money from it, so we carry it. But they let us have a version of the show without it and keep the change or something like that for a low price, starting at $1.49 a week. If you want to know how to get all this joy, go to plus.theparacast.com. Once again, plus.theparacast.com. We tell you how to sign up, and it involves joining our forums, of course, which is a lot of fun, too. Plus.theparacast.com. As always, we never know when we start with Greg Bishop where we'll go. I'm not sure if we know whether we got there or not. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Okay, thanks so much, Gene. Anytime.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.